Why don't we have a word of prayer as we dive into today's message. Father, we thank you for each one that's here today. We're scattered. We're in the building. We're outside. We're online. We're online throughout the week. And Lord, it's just amazing what you're doing and how you continue to build the church. Build your church, Lord Jesus. It's your church. You do the building. And Jesus, we know that you build the church by sending the precious Holy Spirit, by sending people. And Lord, we're just so grateful for that. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing, Lord. And Father, I just pray for the church around America, around the world today. I just pray that the church would be a people filled with love. I pray that the church would be a people filled with hope, and there would be such a peace that hatred and fear would not be a part of who we are, but we're a people of peace, we're a people of love. And Lord, we just thank you for that today. Be with each person today. We thank you. We praise you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So have your cell phone ready here in just a few minutes. Well, I want to begin this morning a little different. I want to begin by asking a question. So wherever you're at today, just engage with answering the question. That is, how many people enjoy reading? How many people love to read? Good, good. I personally really, really, really enjoy reading, even though I don't read nearly as much as I would like to because I got a real problem. It's called the inability to sit still. Does anybody have that also? You have this inability to sit still. You know you want to read and you got a stack of books, but you just can't do it. You can't sit still, especially when it's summer and you know winter's coming, okay? You're just like, okay, if there's daylight, I'm going to be outside until the sun sets. I'm not going in the house. So I have that inability to sit still, but it keeps me from reading. But here's the thing. My family, on the other hand, they take reading to a whole nother level. See, not only does Heather enjoy to read, but her reading has been handed down to both of our boys. Grant and Nolan love to read. So much so that just a couple Sundays ago, what we do a lot is we have what we call a conference call with Grant. So we all call and we put it on speakerphone so the four of us can listen in and we can talk. By the way, when we begin to talk sports, Heather usually leaves the room, okay? But anyway, we get to talk. And recently when we were on one of these conversations, Grant introduced Nolan to a website. And the website is called thriftbooks.com. Has anybody ever heard of thriftbooks.com? What it is, it's a website where you can purchase used books for a fraction of the cost. So here's what's happening in our house. Instead of one book coming to the house in the mail, now we're getting boxes. And in the box, there might be four, five, or six books. And it's just like they open it like they're opening a box of money. They love it, okay? And but recently on that call, Grant also introduced Nolan to this idea. And he said, hey, Nolan, you know what I want to do? He said, I want to be a part of the CEO book club. Has anybody ever heard of the CEO book club? Anyone? Well, I'll tell you what it means then, okay? The CEO book club is when you make a commitment that you're going to read one book a week, for a year. And just do the math. How many people know that's simple math? That's 52 books in a year. And how many people can say, you know what? I haven't read 52 books in my life. That's okay, but they just love it. So Grant's saying, I'm going to read a book a week, That's going to be my goal. So as you can see, what's happened is my boys have inherited this love for reading from their incredible mother. That's where it's come from. It hasn't come from me. And I really like the fact that they read because I believe that leaders are readers. They're always reading. But here's the challenge. The challenge is now the boys feel this freedom to come up, and they like to recommend books. And it's not, it happens all the time. They come, especially Nolan. He'll come up and say, Dad, you've got to read this book. And I'm saying, well, you've said that five times this week. You've got to read this book. And actually, one of the books that they both asked me to read and said was a great book is a book that actually Nolan said, Dad, this is on my top three all time. And it's this book right here. It's this book right here. And I think I'm on. Let me go here. It's this book right here. And has anybody seen this book before? It's called Tuesdays with Maury. Has anybody seen this before? It's actually been published in 31 different languages, given out to 33 different countries. And Nolan said, Dad, you got to read this book. So what I did is last week I started to sit down, and I love it because the chapters are only like 4 pages. How many people love those type of chapters? By the way, if you ever write a book, don't write chapters that are like 30 pages. You've lost me, okay? I'm done. But I love these books where you only read about 3 or 4 pages. And I love this book, Tuesdays with Maury. And you say, well, who is Maury? Well, in the story, Maury is it's actually a true story. And Maury is a retired college professor out east, okay? And he's an older gentleman, and he's been diagnosed, and he's dying from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. So he's making this choice, and the choice he's made is he's saying, hey, I'm not going to let this bring me down. I'm going to live life to the fullest until the day I die. So what he does is he begins to pursue the things that he loves to pursue. And one of the things he loves to pursue is having people come to his house so that he can have these visits with people and they can have very meaningful conversations. And what this book is all about, it's the author telling about some of the conversations that he has with Maury, and the author's name is Mitch Albom, okay? And what they talk about is some of life's greatest lessons. So they visit for hours upon hours just talking about some of life's greatest lessons. And in one of their very first meetings in the beginning of the book, here you have Maury, who is laying in bed. He can't even really sit up much anymore. He's so dependent upon other people just to even feed himself. I mean, he's really struggling with ALS, and he's having this conversation with Mitch, who is much, much younger. But here's the story about Mitch, and that is that he's fallen into the trap of chasing the American dream, okay? He's this young guy that it's all about getting. I need to get. And when he gets, he says, I got to get more and more and more. And in this first conversation, Maury picks this up. So he asks Mitch this question. The question is this. He says, hey, Mitch, are you giving to your community? Are you giving to your community? And I thought, wow, that question I just had to put down the book and just like, wow, that was an incredible question. And when I saw this question, I immediately said to myself, I got to address this topic of giving in our current collection of talks that we're calling countercultural living. I got to talk about giving, okay? And the reason why I felt the need to address this topic is because the accepted lifestyle of our society is all about getting. I mean, that's the accepted lifestyle of the society, the culture that we're living in. You got to get. And when you get what you thought you had to get, you got to go and you got to get more. But here's the deal. If followers of Jesus are going to live this countercultural lifestyle, if they're going to live differently, then the focus needs to shift from getting, and the focus needs to shift to being able to give, to giving, okay? And I love this because if you know Jesus, who is fully God, fully man, that was his message. And that's the message that he gave to those who were the closest to him, his disciples. And we see a conversation where Jesus is portraying exactly this message, that, hey guys, it's not about getting. I want to let you know, if you're really going to be fulfilled in life, it's really going to be about giving. And I want us to look at this conversation. If you have your Bibles today, you can look to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to pick it up in verse 20, and we're going to read about 9 verses. But if you don't have your Bible, we're going to provide all the verses for you on the screen. And it's Jesus saying to his disciples, hey, don't fall into the culture that says, hey, it's all about I got to get. Jesus is saying, hey, in my kingdom, if you're going to be my follower, it's about giving. So let's pick up the story. It's a great story. Let me put on my glasses so we can read this morning. Pick it up in verse 20. It says, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her son. So here we have a couple mama's boys, okay? Mama's going to do the talking for them. She knelt respectfully to ask for a favor. Verse 21, what is your request? Jesus asked. She replied, in your kingdom, Jesus, please let my two sons sit in the places of honor next to you. So that's what she's wanting to get. She's wanting her sons to get those positions of honor, okay? Get those places of honor, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered by saying to them, you don't know what you're asking. And then he says this, he says something very interesting. He says, are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? And we know what that is. That is a reference to the fact that Jesus is going to go to the cross, and on the cross there's going to be suffering all for us. He's going to suffer for our sins on the cross. Are you able to suffer too? And I just get a kick out of their response. The two of them chime up and they said, oh, yes. Yes, they replied, we are able. We are able. Look at the rest of it. It says, Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from the bitter cup. Let's just pause right there. You know the rest of the story. Actually, it was, let me make sure I got this right. It was James that was actually, he was what? He was crucified. He was martyred for his faith. So he truly did drink of the bitter cup. And if you know the story of the Apostle John, he was persecuted severely. So yes, he did drink from the bitter cup, okay? But he says this, Jesus goes on to say, but I have no right to say who's going to sit on my right or who's going to sit on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen, okay? Verse 24, the story intensifies because the other 10 disciples catch wind of what these two are doing behind their back. And they said, when the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. I think it's funny. If I was James and John, I would have said, hey, don't blame us. It was our mother. And she is crazy, okay? But they go with it. Verse 25, but Jesus called them together. So he's calling all the troops together, all 12 of the disciples, into this holy huddle. And I love what he says. He says, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and over officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But check out verse 26. But Jesus says, but among you, among Christ followers, among disciples, it will be different. Meaning it's going to be countercultural. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. In verse 27, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. And then Jesus wraps it up with a powerful verse in verse 28. He said, for even the Son of Man, referring to himself, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. I love those verses because here in these verses, Jesus is making it super, super clear that the focus of his followers is to be clearly different than the focus of people in society. Are we getting that this morning? See, the countercultural focus of Jesus' followers isn't about getting, but the focus of the followers of Jesus is about giving. How many people know that's what servants do? They give. That's what slaves do. They give, okay? So it's not about focusing on how much can I get, the all-American dream, but the focus is on how much can I give. And the really cool thing that I like here is that Jesus not only teaches his disciples to give, but he also is going to demonstrate it by giving his own life. He's going to give his own life, and that's actually what we see in verse 28. Let's look at it again. It says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but he came not to be served, but to serve others, and look at it, to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is saying, hey, it's not only the way I'm teaching you how to live, I'm going to demonstrate it with my own life. I'm going to die on the cross. And that's exactly what he did. So not only is Jesus saying this, do as I say, guys, he's also saying, hey, guys, follow my example. And how many people know there's a big difference between do what I say and do what I do? And I do want to say a word quickly to our parents, and that is, parents, we need to be very careful that the message that we send to our kids isn't only a verbal message. Hey, kids, do what I say, but I want to encourage you that we got to follow that up. And if we're going to be effective, we got to follow it up by doing what we say. How many people know our kids would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon? And I want to let you know, parents, we have a big responsibility not only to say the right things, but we need to make sure that we're going out by God's grace through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're actually living out and we're being models of followers of Jesus. So we need to make sure we're putting both of those together. We're talking, but we're also modeling. So let's go back to the text here, and that is that we as followers of Christ are called to live a life of giving. And I want us to get that this morning, that we're called to live a life of giving. We're not called to live a life that's centered around getting. And it's so easy to fall into the trap because we see it everywhere we go. That's the message that's so loud in our ears and with our eyes is this message is you got to get. No, Jesus says, hey, time out. I know in the busyness of your life, you need to hear that it's not all about getting, but you need to hear that it's all about giving. It's all about giving. So here's the question I want to ask you today, and that is, what are we to give? Because I really believe there's a lot of people in this room this morning, outside, watching online, and you say, you know what? I want to live counterculturally. I want to live like Jesus calls me to live. We just have those type of people that they have that heartbeat. So what is it we are to give? And I want to share two thoughts what we are to give. Number one is this. We are to give whatever necessary to meet the needs of others. So here's what that looks like. When you see the need in somebody else's life, it may be your spouse, it may be your children, it may be somebody at work, it may be somebody at school. What are we to give when we see the need in somebody else's life? Could it be that Jesus is calling us to step up and say, hey, I want to use you not to get, but I want to use you to give? And that's a powerful, powerful way to live. It was weird Friday. I was preparing this message, and as I was looking out my window, looking out the street here, two houses down, there was this little middle school girl, and she's just a precious gal, and she was out there, and she was cutting her grass. She was cutting the grass, and first of all, I was like, kudos, that's awesome. I love to see that, and then after the grass was cut, she got out the weed eater. And you know how it is along the curb where the mower can't get that close, you know, get the weed eater out, make sure it looks nice. And I watched her pull out that weed eater, and I watched her coming down her property line. But when she got to her neighbor's property line that really needed a lot of help with weed eating, she didn't stop. She went all the way around the corner until she finally reached the end of the curb. And I thought, Lord, that is so cool. There's a young lady, not even middle school age, I don't think, but she saw a need. And she wasn't focused on what she was going to get. She was focused on giving. And I thought to myself, you know what? I got to say something to that girl someday when I see her. I mean, I just can't let that one go. So lo and behold, yesterday, her dad and her are out washing the car. And I went up and I said, hey, Dad, I just want to just brag on your daughter. I saw her the other day cutting the grass, and not only cutting the grass, when it came time to weed eating, I saw that she went and she weed eated the neighbor's yard, and I just want to say, you guys have done an amazing job. And Dad said, yeah, she is pretty awesome. And I just want to say, that's how we need to live our lives. When we see needs that are all around us, we need to stop thinking about what can I get? And God is saying, hey, what can you give to help somebody else out? I think of Heather right now. Her mother is going through a challenging time with some sickness. And I just respect Heather so much. This whole summer, every Monday and every Thursday, Heather got in the car, drove an hour to Chanhassen, and spent the day with her mother. Why? Because how many people know when a spouse is sick, it impacts both spouses? And I just respected Heather so much for going every Monday, every Thursday, taking her whole day to go and not get. It wasn't about getting anything. It was all about giving. And she would take her mother to doctor's appointments. She would take her mother shopping. They would go out and eat together. So she was getting, okay? But here's the cool thing. That's just the way of the kingdom, you guys. And that's how God's calling me to live. That's how God's calling us to live. When we see a need, we often say, well, what's somebody going to do about it? Could it be that God's saying, what are you going to do about it? When you see a need, and it might be in your home, it might be with your kids or your spouse, God's saying, hey, I want to just use you not to get more. You don't need more. I don't know about you, but I don't need more, but I need to give a lot more. And maybe somebody, all they need is a listening ear. Can you give a listening ear? Can you give something as small as a hug? Can you give something as small as a word of encouragement? Can you give your time? Can you give your time? Can you give 5 or 10 minutes to really sit and engage in a conversation with somebody that really needs to have a conversation? Can you give of your resources? I know we have been so blessed as a whole, as a church, as a nation. We've been so blessed with our resources. Could it be that God's not wanting us to get more, more, more? Could it be that God's saying, hey, I blessed you so you can go and be a blessing and give to people who have need? So I just want to encourage you as you go back into your week this week, even today when you leave church, may you begin to have a mind shift, a culture shift in your thinking that I'm not going to focus this week on getting. I've got everything. May I focus this week on giving. Maybe I need to give more patience. Maybe I need to give more kindness. I just need to be kind. Maybe I just need to help somebody that's going through a difficult time. So the first place that we can give is we just give when we see a need. And I just want to encourage you, needs are all around us, and needs come in all shapes and sizes. And I know some people saying, you know, I can't do much, but I wrote this down. It doesn't have to be something big to make a big difference. It doesn't have to be something big to make a big difference. Sometimes it's the smallest thing in somebody's life, you giving, that they're like, wow, I didn't know that anybody even cared. I didn't even know anybody was paying attention. And I just want us to get that into our lives this week, that we're going to live different this week and beyond. So what's the second thing we can give is this, and that is whatever we would like to receive from others. I think that's so simple. Let me say it again. I don't know if you caught it. What are we to give? Whatever we would like to receive from other people. You know, whatever I want to receive from other people, could it be that the beginning of that coming into my life is by me giving that away to other people? So let me ask you a question, because I'm not sure if you got this point, and that is, how many people like to receive a word of encouragement? I got one hand over here. All right, two hands, three. How many people like to receive a word of encouragement? Here's what I want to suggest you do. Let's not just always wait to receive words of encouragement. What would happen if you would begin to be the one who initiates it and you begin to give words of encouragement? So here's what I want you to do right now. We're going to participate. This is way different, but I want you right now to open up your contact list. Everybody participating that has a phone. Is everybody's phone ready? And are you tracking with me? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to your contact list. And on your contact list, I'm giving you permission right now in church. I want you right now in this moment, I want you to send somebody a word of encouragement for the next 30 seconds. And I'll kind of play some Mike Bechtel music, okay? So everybody participating, I want us to participate and send somebody a word of encouragement. And I'm going to do it right now myself. So everybody's participating, and this is a little awkward, but I think we need to be doers of the word. So hang with me, okay? Here we go. Sometimes on this journey. So how many people truly sent a text in the last few seconds? Anyone? You sent a text? How many people know that's all about giving? It's all about giving. It's in the small things. It's in the small things. What would that look like if we did that all the time? If all the time we went to people and we sent texts or we sent notes or we just face-to-face, I think that's even better. You look somebody in the eye and say, you know what? You did a great job. Gabe, the testimony, you did a great job today. What would that look? We need to... How many people know that's what the kingdom is all about? That's what this countercultural living is all about, is we're not always waiting to get something from somebody. What would happen if we begin to step up and we would begin to give? I'll tell you what would happen. Jesus said it this way. I'll read it. Jesus said in Acts 20, actually, there we are, Acts 20, he said this, the results of giving, it is more blessed to get than to receive. I wanted to make sure people were listening. It's not what it says. He said it's more blessed to, everybody say it together, it's more blessed to give. The blessing is not in getting. I mean, I've been blessed with a lot of getting, but he's saying the greater blessing is in the fact giving. It's greater. It's a greater blessing. It's more blessed when you give, when you give, when you give, when you give. Good, somebody's getting a return text already. That's awesome. Here's another verse I love, a result of giving. Luke 6:38, Jesus said these words. Can we read this together? Everybody, give and you will receive. How many people know that's a promise from Jesus? So I want to read it together one more time. Give and you will receive. And then he doesn't stop there. He says, your gift will return to you. It's going to return to you in full. It's going to be returned, pressed down, shaken together, making room for more, running over, poured out in your lap. You're seeing what's happening here. You're even going to get more back. And then he says this. He says, the amount you give will determine the amount you give back. So I want to encourage us. Let's be people that are radical about not getting, but we're radical about giving, okay? So, because you're always going to get back to the degree that you gave. You're going to get back to the degree that you gave. So let me ask you this question in conclusion today, and that is, are you living a life to get, or are you living a life to give? Are you living all about people giving to you and you getting, you getting, you getting, you getting? Or are you turning the tables and living countercultural? Are you living to give your life? Are you living to give? And I just want to challenge you before we close this morning. I just want to challenge you one last time. What are some simple baby steps? I'm not asking some of you, you're thinking, oh, I have to write a $1,000 check. No, what if you just bought somebody a cup of coffee? What if you bought somebody lunch? What if you just gave somebody a word of encouragement? What if we would just start living to give? I want to let you know what would happen in your life. You would begin to experience more and more joy, more and more happiness. You're getting your eyes off yourself and you're getting your eyes onto other people. And I just want to encourage you today, let's be people that live to give. It's like the lady that went to see her lawyer. She was ready for divorce. She had enough. She had enough. And her lawyer, who was a Christian lawyer, said, hey, this is what we're going to do. For the next 30 days, I want you to give to your husband like you've never given to your husband before. I mean, anything. Just give compliments. Just give, 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 give. And then we're going to spring the news on him at the end of 30 days, and he's going to be so shocked, and it's going to hurt so bad. So the lady went, and she spent the next 30 days not focused on getting anything from him. She focused on giving, 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 giving. At the end of 30 days, she went to see the same attorney, and the attorney said, are you ready? She said, no way. Our marriage is the best that it's been in years. And the attorney laughed because he knew exactly what he was doing. And he said, yes, it's because you changed the focus from getting to giving. And how would that change all of our lives if we would change the focus from getting to giving? Amen? So let's just bow our heads this morning. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. Maybe there's something that God wants to speak right now to you, an area where you can give, where you can give, where he's wanting you to give. Let's just take like 15 seconds where we give that moment just to let the Spirit speak. Where should we give? He might be wanting some specific area. If we could have the team come forward. We're going to practice what we preach, and we're going to give a blessing. So if we can open the doors of the sanctuary, somebody would help me out there, have them come on in. I want everyone to stand to your feet this morning. I want everybody to be with family. I want no one to be alone. So Nolan, have all the kids come in. Kids, if you can find your parents. This is just going to be a time of giving blessing. If you want to spread out in the sanctuary for safety reasons, you can do that. Let's just make sure everybody has someone. Does everybody have someone? Let's have someone here with Ruth. We need everybody to be included here. It's about giving. And we're going to sing this song, and at the end of the song, I'm going to actually pray a blessing. So everybody come on into the sanctuary. Jordan, Nolan, join us inside here. Does everybody have somebody with you? Let's relocate if there's people alone. And we're going to sing this song, and really it's all about giving a blessing. God's giving a blessing. And I want us to receive it, and then I'll come and I'll give a blessing. And one of the blessings we're going to be giving is a blessing of health, a blessing of safety as our kids go back to school, and just a blessing for all of us that the Lord would protect us from all that's going on in our nation today. I believe that God's going to put divine hedges of protection around people. So let's sing this together as families, and let's enjoy this song together, and then I'll come up at the end.
Children, may his favor be upon you and 10,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you, and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you, and 1,000 generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, He is with you.
Sam, why don't you join your Gabe, why don't you just continue to play, and Nick. We want everybody to have somebody to be one. Okay. I love the lines of that song, and I think we need to all hear that today, that He is for you.
Yes.
So here's what I want you to do. Just, you can whisper that in the ear of the person in your family on your right and left right now. Let's just speak that to each other right now. He is for you. Gracie's for you. Jordan's for you. He's for us. He's for you. That song, I love it because it's taken right directly from Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 26. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel. Bless the people of Journey Church with this special blessing.'" I want everybody to receive this today. Why don't you four come closer to me? I want you to be up here with me. Join me. This is our family, extended family. Put our hands. hands on our heart. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord protect you. May the Lord smile on you. And may the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor. How many people want to experience the favor of God? And may the Lord give you his peace. And that's so big for the culture we're living in today. There's so much fear. But that's not what God wants. He wants to bless people with peace. So Lord, we just pray right now for those in our family, our friends. And Lord, we just pray a special blessing that people would understand that you are for them and that your favor's upon them. And Lord, I pray a hedge of protection around each person, parents, children. I just pray, God, spouses, that you would place a divine hedge of protection around them. And Lord, that you would keep them from evil, from harm, any form of sickness. We just plead the blood of Jesus around each, everyone in this room, that each person would walk in health, would walk in strength, would walk in peace, would walk in your favor, would walk in your provision. God, we are people who are called out. We're called out to live for you, God. We are your children through faith in your son, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that each one would just walk in that favor and know, Lord, that your hand is upon them, that you lead us, that you guide us, that you establish our steps. And we just thank you for that today. And we receive that today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people together said, amen and amen. How many people want to receive God's blessing this morning? Let's give God a hand this morning. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. Here's your assignment as you walk out this morning. I want to encourage you to give, not wait to receive, but give at least two other people just a word of encouragement, a word that would build them up, a word that would give them hope. So as you're leaving, let's be doers of the word, not just people who hear a sermon, then go on and live like they were before. But we're going to give. We're going to give. We're going to give. So give people a word of encouragement. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And if you need anything this week, let us know. We're here to serve you, to love on you. God bless you. Yeah.